الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكسبون وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في أول سورة المنافقون إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون ذلك بأنهم آمنوا ثم كفروا فطبع على قلوبهم فهم لا يفقهون وقال عز وجل في نفس السورة سواء عليهم استغفرت لهم أم لم تستغفر لهم لن يغفر الله لهم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التوبة استغفر لهم او لا تستغفر لهم ان تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة النساء ان المنافقين في الدرك الاسفل من النار صدق الله العظيم وعن ابي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آية المنافق ثلاث وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّى وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ وَإِذَا اُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور آمين يا رب العالمين Brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you know, today we have to discuss the subject of nifaq or munafaqah. And just like our discussion on iman, we shall be discussing this subject under 10 headings. First of all, the simple definition of a munafiq. Who is a munafiq? Number two, what's the importance of nifaq? And because it is a disease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called it maradun, fi qulubihim maradun, fazadahum Allahu marada. What is the prognosis of this disease? Number three, just as we talked about some big misconceptions regarding jihad fi sabilillah, there are very big misconceptions about nifaq also. Fourth, then we shall discuss the literal meanings of nifaq, what it means literally. Number five, classification of munafiqeen. What are the types of munafiqeen? Number six, the conscious or the willful nifaq. Number seven, the unconscious nifaq. Number eight, analysis of the stages of nifaq. Number nine, its prevention. How can you save yourself from this disease, from this infection? And lastly, number 10, What's the curative treatment? If one gets the infection of this disease, then which antibiotic is available as curative to this disease? So with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I begin. Who is a munafiq? What we commonly know and understand is, a munafiq is a person who claims to be a mu'min and a Muslim, but he is really not a mu'min. So that is the general definition which we have in our minds. But here, two points must be noted. Number one, as we have seen, at the legal level, we have only two categories of human beings. Either they are Muslims, or they are non-Muslims or kafirs. Nifaq is not a legal entity. Munafiq is not a legal entity. Legally, we can classify people only who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim. So actually, at the legal level of Iman, and we have discussed it in detail, that the legal level of Iman is Islam. So at the legal level, the opposite or the zid or the antonym or the converse of Iman is Kufr. But at the real level, the condition within, at this level, the zid or the antonym or the converse or the opposite of Iman is Nifaq. So actually Nifaq versus Iman, Kufr versus Iman. This point should be very clear. At the legal level, Iman versus Kufr. At the real level, within your heart, Iman versus Nifaq. And Munafiq is not a legal entity. But as I discussed under the ayah number 14 of Surah Al-Hujurat, a person who is a legal Muslim can have three conditions within his heart. Either he is positively a mu'min also. This is what is required. If he is mu'min within, Muslim without, in his attitude in life, then you call him a Muslim or a mu'min, doesn't make any difference. Call the rose by any name, it will smell as sweet. But a Muslim legally can be a mu'min, positively. Or negatively a munafiq. But between these two values, there is a zero level also. A Muslim can be only a Muslim, neither a mu'min nor a munafiq. And I quoted, if you are remembering, the saying of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, وَقَدْ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ إِسْلَامًا بِغَيْرِ إِيمَانٍ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. These Bedouins are claiming that we have become mu'min. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have not at all become mu'min. All you can say is you have become Muslims. We have surrendered, we have become Muslims. And the real Iman has not as yet entered your hearts. That's a very important ayah. Ayah number 14 of Surah Al-Hujurat. So this ayah proves that there can be a person who is only Muslim, neither a mu'min nor a munafiq. And I told you that most of the Muslims of today belong to this category. Now this should suffice for the common meaning of the word nifaq. And let me quote here the ayat which I recited from the beginning of the second section of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. There are certain people who claim that they believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, the last day, but they are not mu'mins. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They are deceiving, they are trying to deceive Allah and the mu'mineen and the mu'mins and the Muslims, but actually they are not deceiving anybody except themselves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they are not conscious of it. They think we are deceiving Allah and the mu'mins and the Muslims, but actually they are deceiving none else but themselves. But they don't have the consciousness. They don't have the understanding. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. In their hearts there is a disease. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So Allah Ta'ala has increased their disease. فزادہم اللہ مرضا ولہم عذاب علیم بما کانوا یکسبون. اور فار دیم از اے ویری پینفل پنشمنٹ ڈیو ٹو دی لائی دیٹ دے ہیو بین ٹیلنگ. سو ایکچولی دیز تھری آیات فرام دی سیکنڈ سیکشن آف سورۃ البقرہ دے آر ویری امپارٹنٹ. دی کامن ڈیفینیشن, سم ون کلیمنگ ٹو بی مومن بٹ ہی از ناٹ ریئلی مومن, سو ہی از اے منافق. ناؤ وٹ از دی پروگنوسس آف دس ڈیزیز؟ ناؤ دس ٹرمینالوجی از فرام دی میڈیکل سائنس, بیکاز آئی ہیو کوٹڈ دی آیا فی قلوبہم مرض, اٹس اے ڈیزیز, اٹس اے پیتھالوجی. اینڈ وی ہیو ریگارڈنگ ایوری ڈیزیز ان دی میڈیکل سائنس ایٹیالوجی, وائی اے ڈیزیز اٹ یو اپیئرس, وٹ آر دی کازز آف دیٹ ڈیزیز. دین سمپٹمٹالوجی, وٹ آر دی سائنس اینڈ سمٹمس آف دیٹ ڈیزیز. دین پروگنوسس, کین دیئر بی اے ریکوری, وٹ اباؤٹ دی فیوچر, اینڈ وٹ دی ہوپس آف ریکوری, اور دی ڈیزیز از ویری ڈیڈلی, دین ہاؤ ٹو کیور اٹ. اینڈ ان دی کیور اور ٹریٹمنٹ آف اے ڈیزیز وی ہیو ٹو سائڈس, دی پریونٹیو سائڈ اینڈ دی کیوریٹو سائڈ. پریونشن از بیٹر دین کیور. یو شوڈ ٹرائی ٹو اوائڈ دی ڈیزیز اینڈ سیو یور سیلف فرام دی انفیکشن آف دیٹ ڈیزیز. بٹ اف دیٹ انفیکشن ٹیکس پلیس, دین یو مسٹ ہیو سم ٹریٹمنٹ, سم کیوریٹو ٹریٹمنٹ. سو آل دیز ایشوز ہیو بین ڈسکسڈ ان دی قرآن ان اے ویری اسمال سورا. The name of this surah is Suratul Munafiqun, and that actually consists of only 11 ayat. And all these headings that I have enumerated about a disease, all these are discussed about that disease in those 11 ayat. But because this is not a session of the dars of Suratul Munafiqun, I am actually discussing this subject, and I will be quoting from various parts of the Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, permits me and gives me the courage and the circumstances are favorable, then I intend to complete that dars of that selected course of study in English also. But here we have to proceed. Now what about the prognosis of this disease? I have recited a few ayat. Number one, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ استغفرت لهم ان لم تستغفر لهم لن يغفر الله لهم. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, about these munafiqeen, and this ayah is there in Surah Al-Munafiqun. It's absolutely equal for them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you ask our forgiveness for them or not, we are not going to forgive them. إن الله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. It's not the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala doesn't lead and doesn't guide those who don't want to be guided. The fasiqeen, who want to go astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets them go astray. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. So, istighfar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sawa'un alayhim astaghfarta lahum am lam tastaghfir lahum. La yaghfir Allah. And they do have this very subject again repeated in Surah At-Tawbah. استغفر لهم او لا تستغفر لهم ان تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. It's absolutely equal, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you ask our forgiveness for them or you don't ask. Even if you make istighfar for them, if you ask our forgiveness for them 70 times, even then we are not going to forgive them. Now this is the prognosis. A Muslim or a mu'min who has even a drop of iman, even a particle of iman in his heart, he will tremble at these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, استغفر لهم او لا تستغفر لهم ان تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم. And the third ayah which I quoted regarding the prognosis, how deadly this disease is, that is from Surah An-Nisa. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. These munafiqs will be in the lowest section of the Jahannam, in the lowest part of Nar. That has been reserved for munafiqeen. Actually, if you find in the Quran, the ghazab of Allah Ta'ala, the wrath of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, appears more regarding munafiqeen than the kuffar. They are double criminals. Because the kuffar, they openly oppose. They are enemies, but you know them. But these people, they claim to be Muslims. They claim to be friends. They claim to be followers. They claim to be well-wishers. But actually they were the enemies. So actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His anger, His wrath, His ghadab, it appears in the Quran more for the munafiqeen than the kuffar. Now I come to the third point. The three very big misconceptions about nifaq. Number one is that this disease or this nifaq or munafiqah, that was confined to the days of the Prophet only. No nifaq after him. It's a general misconception. It's partially true. Because only the Prophet could know who was a munafiq. Because revelation came to him. So he could declare anybody as munafiq. He could say. Although he didn't declare. He never declared anybody to be munafiq. He didn't declare even Abdullah ibn Ubay, the Raisul Munafiqeen, the chief of the Munafiqeen, he didn't declare him to be a Munafiq. So that is the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we know that at least he knew who is a Munafiq. And there is a tradition, there is a riwayah, that you know when the Prophet was coming back from Ghazwatul Tabuk, some of the Munafiqeen, they tried to kill him. They ambushed him. When he was passing through a very narrow, what should we call, valley. On both sides were mountains, and there was a very narrow, valley from which the Prophet ﷺ was passing. And there were some people with him. About 12 persons, they attacked in the darkness of the night. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Prophet ﷺ. But then the Prophet told, although nobody could see those people. It was all dark and they had covered their faces and heads with different cloths. And they were not seen, they were not recognizable. But the Prophet told Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu the names. They are such and such and such and such people, I tell you. But, O Huzaifa, keep it a secret with you. Never disclose this secret to anybody. Why? Because I have told you, that munafiq is not a legal entity. It's actually the internal condition of a person. The Prophet could know it by wahi, but none else can know it. And when that window of wahi has been closed, after the institution of wahi having coming to an end in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now we cannot declare anybody a munafiq. But it doesn't mean that nifaq has, finished up and it is no more there. Nifaq is there. The disease is there. But we can't declare any particular person to be munafiq. So it is a partial truth that nifaq was confined in this way, in this meaning, to the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he could declare anybody to be a munafiq, although he didn't, but he could. But after him, we cannot say about any particular person that he is a munafiq. But the second, misconception, which if each one of us speaks down into his heart, he will find that we have got that misconception. And that is, we are safe from nifaq. How can we have nifaq? We are Muslims. We are not munafiqs. Whenever we read Quran and we are reciting the ayat regarding munafiqeen, we never tremble. We never think that they can be applicable to us. This is the biggest misconception. And let me quote here, two incidents and a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which can remove this misunderstanding and misconception very easily. Number one, a Sahabi, one of the Ansari Sahaba, Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once it so happened, he came out of his house. He was very nervous. And he was saying, Nafaqa Hanzala, Nafaqa Hanzala, Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala has gone munafiq. Hanzala has become munafiq. Hanzala has become munafiq. He was in a special condition at that time. He met Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala on his way. Hazrat Abu Bakr asked him, what's the matter, Hanzala? What are you saying? How do you say you have become a munafiq? He said, I feel that when I am in the company of the Prophet, in his presence, the condition of my iman, the condition of my heart is somewhat different. But when I come to my home and family, and I am attending to my business or something, you know, other activities, then that condition is no more. I feel there is a difference. This is nifaq. Hazrat Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى عنه could tell him that this is not nifaq. And this is a natural thing. But he, you know, he decided to take him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that the real, you know, thing and real teaching comes from the tongue of the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat Abu Bakr said, "Oh Hanzalah, if it is that, but I also feel the same thing. When we are in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our condition, you know, our hearts, you know, we are, as if we are seeing with our own eyes the Jannah and the Nar. But you know, when we go to our business, our homes, that condition doesn't persist. So that condition is with me also. So let us go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him what's the matter, what's the reality." They went there and Hazrat Hanzala narrated. And then the Prophet said, "No, Hanzala, it's not nifaq. Your condition that you have and experience in my presence, it cannot be permanent. If it becomes permanent, then the angels will come and shake hands with you on their beds. Actually, when you are in my presence, that condition, you know, it cannot be permanent. فَإِنَّهَا يَا حَنْزَلَةُ فَسَاعَةً فَسَاعَةً." This type of depth of commitment, the depth of iman, this istihzar, this can be had time to time. It cannot be persistent, it cannot be permanent. But why I quoted this incident? That Hazrat Hanzala, a Sahabi, a companion of the Prophet, he didn't think that nifaq cannot attack him. He cannot have the disease of nifaq. He didn't think, "I am mahfuz and mas'oon. I am safe. I can never have any nifaq." This was not the understanding. This was not the feeling of Hazrat Hanzala. Now let me come to Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. He is number two, according to Ahl Sunnah. Topmost Sahabi, Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala. Number two among the Sahaba, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. And you know he, because I have told you that the Prophet told the names of some munafiqeen to Hazrat Huzaifa. Once he went to Huzaifa, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he asked him, "In the name of Allah, I ask you, O Huzaifa, tell me, was my name also included in those names of munafiqeen about whom the Prophet told you?" And he said, "No, no, although I can't tell you the names, but should be sure your name was not among them." So Hazrat Umar didn't think that he is, you know, exempt. He is immune. This disease cannot affect him. So how come we are absolutely sure? We cannot have the nifaq. And now let me give you the hadith. Once the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ma aminahu illa munafiqun, wa ma khafahu illa mu'min." It's only the mu'min who fears lest this disease should affect him. And it's only the munafiq who thinks he is immune from that disease. "Ma aminahu illa munafiqun." Nobody thinks himself safe and immune from this disease except the munafiq himself. And nobody has the fear of nifaq lest it should attack him except a mu'min. And it's very logical. If there is some traveler, you just imagine the travelers of the past, people going on foot or on horsebacks or on camelbacks traveling, and they have their money or cash with them. Now it's night fell and person is sleeping. He was always half asleep only. He was conscious lest somebody comes and steals his money. But who doesn't have any money? Well, he could sleep. He could enjoy a very, very sound sleep. There is a very beautiful couplet in Urdu from Ghalib. "Raha khatka na chori ka, dua deta hu rahzan ko. Once you know the robbers have robbed me, I have nothing now. So I have nothing to fear now. Now I can sleep, I can have a very sound sleep, because there is no danger of any theft, because all that I had has gone. So and now I can enjoy a very sound and deep sleep." رہا کھٹکا نہ چوری کا، دعا دیتا ہوں رہزن کو. سو ایکچولی ہُو ایور ہیز سم ایمان ہی ول فیئر لیسٹ ہی لوزز دس ایمان، ہُو ایور ڈزنٹ ہیو اینی ایمان ہی ول ناٹ ایٹ آل ہیو اینی فیئر دیٹ ہی ول لوز اینی تھنگ. سو دیٹ از لاجیکل آلسو وٹ دی پروفٹ سیڈ، ما امنہ الا منافق وما خافہ الا مومن. What is the third misconception? Most of us think that the munafiqeen are conscious munafiqeen. They deceive consciously. They know that they are deceiving. They know that we are not Muslim or Mumin and we are only deceiving the Muslims. It's not the case. Rather, the bulk of the munafiqeen of the times of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were unconscious munafiqeen. They didn't think themselves to be munafiq. I will discuss this issue because it's very important in detail later on. Now we come to the fourth heading. What is the meaning of the word nifaq and munafiqah? In Arabic again the same thing, three-letter root, nafaqun. Nafaqun is the underground tunnel which has two openings, two mouths we can say. This is nafaqun. And we have in the Quran also, وَإِنْ كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ عِرَاضُهُمْ فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ. This is Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 35. I'm not going to translate. You can yourself go and see the translation in the Quran. I only wanted to quote that this word appears in the Quran, nafaqun. Nafaqun means an underground tunnel which has two openings. And this was the rule in the ancient times. There used to be forts. There were the gates of the forts. But because if the enemy has captured, enemy is victorious, he is entering from the gates of the fort, where should the men go? The king or anybody there, the chief, he has to get some place, some way to get out. So they used to have tunnels, underground tunnels. And they were hidden. So that in times of emergency, they could run away through those tunnels, through those, you know, surangs. We call it surang in Urdu. So actually, nafaq was a means of saving oneself in the eve of, in the event of defeat, and to have to escape from through that tunnel. So that is nafaqun. And nafaqa, nafaqaun, that's the name given to the hole which Zab. Zab, you know, is a lizard in the Arabian desert. And the Bedouins eat it. It's a food for them. And they catch it through dogs. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given intelligence to all the creatures. All the creatures have, all the living beings have, their organs of offense and defense. They want to save themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Zab, the intelligence, the hole that she or he digs in the ground, underground, he or she keeps two gates, two doors, two openings, so that if the dog is coming from this side, it could run and escape from the other side. And if there is danger from the other side, it runs away from this side. This is also nafaqa. Now from this is derived this love's nifaq and munafaqa. Who is the munafiq? Double-faced person. A munafiq who wants to save himself. I will discuss it, inshallah, in detail just now. Actually, what is the basis of nifaq? One wants to keep safe. He wants to keep his life safe, his money safe, his wealth safe. He doesn't want to spend these things in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, he makes excuses. He tells lies, even on oath. And that is the condition of the munafiqeen. So this is munafiqah. And mukhada, we have in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. This is mukhada. They are deceiving Allah and the Prophet and the Muslims, and Allah is deceiving them. They are being deceived actually. That's as I just narrated the ayah, recited the ayah, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They are not conscious, they don't understand. But they are deceiving none else but themselves. So these three words, nafaqun, نافقاؤ, اینڈ فرام دیٹ منافقہ باب مفالہ اینڈ نفاق. دس از ایکچولی دی لٹرل میننگ آف دس ورڈ. ناؤ کلاسیفیکیشن. یوزلی اور علماء کلاسیفائی نفاق ان ٹو کیٹیگریز, جسٹ ایز شرک, شرک فی العقیدہ, شرک فی العمل. ان دی سیم وے نفاق فی العقیدہ, یعنی اے پرسن از ہم سیلف کانشیسلی ڈوئنگ نفاق. ہی نوز ہی ہیز ناٹ ایکسپٹڈ ایمان بٹ ہی اونلی ڈیسیونگ فار دی پرپز آف ڈیسیونگ ہی کلیمز ٹو بی اے مسلم. سو دیٹ از دی پوزیشن آف اے پرسن ہو ہیز نفاق فی العقیدہ, ہی نوز ہم سیلف. اینڈ دیر از نفاق فی العمل, ہی ڈزنٹ نو دیٹ آئی ایم اے منافق. ہی تھنکس ہی از اے مسلم, اے پرفیکٹ مسلم, بٹ ہی از منافق. And I narrated the hadith that is muttafaqun alayh from Hazrat Abu Huraira رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. The Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has been reported to have said, آیت المنافق سلاسن وَإِن صَامَ وَصَلَّى وَزَامَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. There are three signs of a munafiq. If you find them, it means he is a munafiq. Although he might be fasting, he might be praying. وَإِن صَامَ وَصَلَّى وَزَامَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And he might be thinking that he is a Muslim. But still, if he has all these three signs present in him, then he is a munafiq. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ وَإِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ. Whenever he speaks, he tells a lie. Whenever he makes a promise, he breaks it, goes back on it. Whenever he is trusted, he betrays the trust. So these three things. Whenever he speaks, he tells a lie. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Whenever he makes a promise, he goes back on his words, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is trusted and something is entrusted to him, something or some powers, then أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ. He doesn't prove to be trustworthy and he betrays the trust. These are the three symptoms of a munafiq. And there's another hadith. Arbaun man kunna fihi fa innahu munafiqun. Four things have been enumerated in that hadith. If all the four are present in anybody, he is 100% munafiq. If one is there, he is a munafiq to that degree. To say and explain it, he is 25% munafiq. If two things are present in him, then he is 50% munafiq. Hatta yada, until that time that he leaves that thing, gives away that habit. If all these four habits are present, then he is munafiq. He is a perfect munafiq. And in this hadith, in addition to these three things, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ وَإِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ, the fourth is وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he quarrels with somebody, there is some dispute, there is some argument, he becomes out of control. Neither his tongue is under his control. He says whatever comes on the tip of his tongue. And he doesn't discriminate what I should say and what I should not say. What I have the rights to say and what I will be able to explain on the day of judgment, that I have the right to say. And what I would not be able to explain on the day of judgment, that I could say that, I had the right to say that. So it's khasama fajara. So he bursts out. Fajara means to burst. What is fajr? The time of fajr. When this darkness bursts and light appears, that is fajr. So actually, this fajara, one is out of control. He bursts out. So that is the fourth symptom or sign of this nifaq-e amali. So this is the classical classification. Generally, ulama classify nifaq as nifaq fil aqeedah, a person who himself knows that he is a munafiq. He is doing it willfully, knowingly, consciously. And number two, he is practically a munafiq, although he is not in aqeedah, in his thinking, he is not munafiq. I express it in a different manner. And that is, there are two types of nifaq. Conscious and willful nifaq, an unconscious nifaq. Let me give you the example of conscious nifaq and willful nifaq. Suppose a non-Muslim wants to do some spying work in a Muslim country. A Hindu, for example, of Bharat, he is working with some intelligence service, RAW or the like, of India, and he enters Pakistan. And he claims to be a Muslim. He learns some Quran. He keeps a beard, all the appearance, and he has khatna also done, so that if it is seen and discussed whether he is a Muslim or not, he has that symptom and sign also present. Because these things have happened in Pakistan. In the border villages, it was revealed that a person remained as an imam of a masjid for several years. He was working as an imam of that masjid. And he was a Hindu, he was a spy, he was acting for the intelligence of India. So he knows that I am not a Muslim. Although he claims to be a Muslim, but he knows it, that I have only taken upon myself this garb, and this is only, I have to disguise myself so that I can do my work as a spy. He knows that I have never accepted Islam, I have never accepted the articles of faith, the iman that Islam requires. So this is conscious, willful nifaq, because people will take him to be a Muslim. Had he died before being arrested, he would have been buried in the Muslim graveyard, and the Muslims would have prayed for his janaza. So actually, because he was taken to be a Muslim. Now don't think it's absolutely theoretical. There is an example of such an incident in the time of the Prophet also, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a group of the Jews of Medina. They hatched a conspiracy because they saw that whenever a Muslim, a person embraces Islam, he becomes Muslim. Come what may, he doesn't leave Islam. He doesn't become murtad. What was the condition in Makkah, you know? People beaten like anything, dragged like the dead bodies of animals. But none of them went back from iman to kufr. They couldn't compel even a single person to go back from iman to kufr. So actually, this was the moral strength of Islam. Now the Jews, they hatched a conspiracy. To break this moral strength of Islam, we should embrace Islam in the morning. And we should keep near to the Prophet for the whole day. And in the evening, we shall declare, no, we have seen from within. It is nothing. There is nothing in Islam. We are going back. And you become murtad again. So that this moral strength of Islam is broken. We call it in Urdu, saakh. Saakh khatam ho jaye. Iman ki ek saakh ban gayi hai, ek value hai. Uske liye they have value in their estimation. That whosoever becomes a mu'min, he doesn't go back. There must be some very good taste in iman and Islam. That a body, if he embraces Islam once, he doesn't go back. So to undo that and to break this status of Islam, this moral strength of Islam, they hatched the conspiracy. Now let me recite the ayah. وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ آمِنُوا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ وَكْفُرُوا آخِرَهُ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. This is ayah number 77 of Surah Al Imran. And so said some of the Jews, some of, min ahlil kitab, some of the people of book, they decided, well, declare to be mu'min, or whatever has been revealed to the Muslims. Yeah. That is, we accept Quran, we accept it is wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? We accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Prophet, as the Messenger of Allah. So they come and enter the fold of Islam. آمنوا بالذي انزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار. Do it in the morning. وَكْفُرُوا آخِرَهُ. And the same day, in the evening, you make kufr, you declare kufr, you say we are going back, we have seen from within, there is nothing. all that glitters is not gold. It appears to be very good from the distance. But now we came close and we have seen from very near nothing. So that was the لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجَعُونَ. In this way we can hope that some of the Muslims will also return. Their faith will be shaken. Their confidence will be shaken. They will think, these were very knowledgeable persons. The Yahud, the ulama of Yahud, they came, they embraced Islam. They enjoyed the company of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, he remained with him. And then they were disillusioned. They were disappointed. Maybe there is something wrong with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we can't see. So these doubts could crop up in the minds of some weak mu'mineen, people who were not very firm in their faith. They could shake the faith of some of the mu'mineen, and that was the objective for which they hatched this conspiracy. Now just imagine, a person declares iman in the morning, and he becomes murtad, he goes back, declares kufr in the evening. For these 7 or 8 or 10 hours, he was taken to be a Muslim. Legally he became a Muslim. He must have prayed Zuhr with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must have prayed Asr with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he knows that I have not accepted Islam. So whatever he is doing willfully, consciously. He has not accepted iman for even a single moment. So these are the examples of willful and conscious nifaq. A person, knowingly that he is not accepting iman or Islam, he only declares to deceive people. This is the willful or conscious nifaq. And Quran also says about them, وَقَدْ وَإِذْ جَاؤُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَقَدْ دَخَلُوا بِالْكُفْرِ وَقَدْ خَرَجُوا بِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَمَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَ. When they entered with kufr. They were entering Islam, from kufr to Islam. But they entered with kufr, and they then went out with kufr. وَقَدْ دَخَلُوا بِالْكُفْرِ وَقَدْ خَرَجُوا بِهِ. Not for a single moment they had the real iman. They never tasted the iman for even a single moment. Now this is the conscious or willful nifaq. Opposed to it, in contrast to it, the bulk of the munafiqeen of the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were unconsciously munafiqeen. They accepted iman sincerely. Please note, I am saying these words consciously, knowing what I am saying. They accepted iman sincerely. But there are always two types of persons. Two types to divide them mainly, but there are so many degrees in between them. There are people who have strong will power, who accept something and then they are ready to live for it, die for it. Harche badabad, come what may, we have accepted it. Now come what may, we are with it. These are the people of character. They are ready to sacrifice anything. When they have accepted something consciously, now this is our faith, this is the ideology that we have accepted, now we are ready to sacrifice anything for it. But there are weak people also. Their willpower is not so strong. They find it difficult. They want to be good people. But to make sacrifice, it appears to be difficult. They are caught in between two things. On the one side, they want to be good. They want to be saved from the fire of hell. They want to enter paradise. They want salvation in the hereafter. But they don't want to lose here also. Don't want to make any sacrifice in this world also. They want both. Actually, this is the thing which makes some people, after coming towards iman, then they retrace their step one by one. Go back, they return. But this returning is not legal. They don't declare that we are leaving Islam. Within the legal Islam, they are going back, returning step by step. I will explain it, inshallah. But first of all, you catch this point. that because Islam wants sacrifices. Islam tells, if you have accepted Iman, as we have seen yesterday, the levels of jihad, if you are a normal person, if you have a healthy psychology, first of all, you must be a Muslim totally. You must be a Muslim actually. You must be a practicing Muslim. You must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must observe the rules of Sharia about your own person and within the sphere of your authority. If you are head of the family, you should be a Khalifa in your family. Khalifa of Allah, vicegerent of Allah. Then it is also logically necessary that you should promote this ideology. You have accepted this ideology. Now promote it. Call people to accept it. And the last thing, you must work hard and you must be ready to sacrifice everything to make this ideology supreme. To establish that ideology as a living politico-socio-economic system, as a social order. Now this is absolutely logical. But in doing these things, you have to bear losses, monetary losses. You have to lose friends. Maybe your parents are angry with you. Maybe your brothers become enemy to you. Maybe your wives and daughters and sons become enemy to you. Quran says, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, inna min azwajikum wa auladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. O you who believe, from among your wives and sons and daughters, there are enemies to you. Your enemies. Beware of them. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, inna min azwajikum wa auladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. If a person was making money from legal as well as illegal, halal as well as haram means, there were all the comforts, all the luxuries for all the family. They were very happy. Now he decides, from today, I will live within my halal means. No haram means of earning. What will happen? The comforts are lost. Luxury is gone. Maybe they have simple bread and maybe it is not two times a day. Maybe it's only one time a day. What will happen? The family will be angry. They won't be pleased. There are examples. If you take to that path, you will have the experience yourself. Your own enemy, your own family will become enemy to you. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives them also the iman and the courage to decide to take to this path. Otherwise, there are conflicts. There were conflicts among this, for the Sahaba, the parents, brothers for brothers. It happened with the Sahaba Ikram. So actually, to accept Iman at its face value is easy. But to fulfill the demands of Iman is something else. You need strength of character to be able to fulfill the requirements of Iman. And if you are not strong enough in your willpower, your determination, if it is weak, then you are caught between two things. Iman mujhe roke hai, to kheche hai mujhe kufr. Kaaba mere peeche hai, kalisa mere aage. This is the condition. There are pulls from two different and opposite sides. Iman demands something else. And this world, and worldly comforts, and worldly luxuries, and all those things which are connected with this worldly life, they pull you in the another direction. This is another couplet from Jigar. Tapti rahe mujhko pukare, daman pakde chhao ghaneri. Call of duty that is calling me to the battlefield. And but these comforts of my home, this shade in my garden which I am enjoying, it is not letting me go. Tapti rahe mujhko pukare. Those ways of duties. People who were asked to go to Tabuk, more than 500-600 miles, and the weather was extremely hot, and the conditions very trying for the Muslims. There was no food. And now, the date, they were ready, and they had to be taken from the trees. If all men go from Medina, who will take the fruit? Who will reap this harvest? This should also, maybe this it is lost. So these was the tests to which the Sahaba Ikram were pulled. تپتی راہیں مجھ کو پکارے، محمد از گوئنگ ٹو ورڈ تبوک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ ود ہم دی اہل ایمان، بٹ دیئر ور پیپل اینڈ دیئر آر ایگزامپل، تھری آف دیم دی ور سنسیئر مومنس، کعب ابن مالک رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ اینڈ ٹو آف ہز کمپینئنس، اینڈ دے وین محمد ریٹرن فرام تبوک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم دے ایکسپٹڈ دیٹ دیئر واز نو ایکسکیوز، اونلی دیز کمفرٹس، ہوملی کمفرٹس، دے ٹائڈ اور لیگس، وی کوڈنٹ گو. So that is the condition. This is actually the test. To have iman, because iman is very close to human nature. Every man should try to, or should, you know, like to be a mu'min, like to be a Muslim. But to be a real Muslim, a practicing Muslim, and to fulfill the requirements of iman and Islam, that jihad which we have discussed yesterday, is very difficult. You have to make sacrifices, and here it is the basis from where nifaq starts. Either you have taken a firm decision, come what may, I have decided. Just like Tariq ibn Ziyad, he burnt the boats when he landed on the coast of Spain. He burnt the boats so that none of my companions, he has any idea of running away for life. He should know, either we have to fight here and die in the battle, or if we go back, will be drowned in the ocean. There's no way going home. Tariq tubar kidara and lus safina soht. Guftand kare to zarahe aklo khayat khatast. People said, you have committed a mistake. He said, no. Har mulk mulk ke maast ke mulk ke khudai maast. Now this country, this land, this belongs to Allah. And we also belong to Allah. So if we die here and if we are buried here, there's no harm. So that is one state of mind. That I have accepted this, now I have to live for it, I have to die for it, come what may. Any sacrifice that I have to make, I'll make. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. This is one position. If you are weak, if you are interested that you shouldn't lose anything over here, then there is the beginning of a maraz. This is the disease. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. And it is the sunnah, it is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever chooses whichever way for him, he makes that way easier for him. Well, go. If you want to come to iman, if you make a firm decision, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. If you are firm in this decision, come what may. Whatever I have to lose, I am ready to lose. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned the sahaba ikram in the very beginning of the Madani period. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So actually, it is the basis of nifaq is when you are tested, when there is fitna, when there is trial and tribulation, when you are called to make sacrifices, those who have decided it, once for all, come what may, well, it's easy for them. But those who have not made such a firm resolve, it becomes difficult for them. And that is the beginning of this maraz. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. And those people, if they come back to kufr, now let me translate the three ayat of Suratul Munafiqun from the very beginning, you know. Ayah 1, 2nd and 3rd. 1st, 2nd and 3rd. إِذَا جَاكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. When these munafiqs come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say that we accept that you are the messenger of Allah. We accept you as the messenger of Allah. إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We testify to it. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah very well knows that you are His messenger. Who knows more than Allah that you are His messenger? وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. But Allah testifies that these munafiqs are telling a lie. What they are saying is true. But they are liars. Because they don't really believe that you are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are only saying it with their mouths and tongues. إِذَا جَاكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ. واللہ یشہد ان المنافقین لکاذبون اتخذوا ایمانہم جنۃ فصدوا عن سبیل اللہ انہم ساء ما کانوا یعملون دس سیکنڈ آیا آئی ول ڈسکس لیٹر کم ٹو دی تھرڈ ذالک بانہم آمنوا ثم کفروا فطبع علی قلوبہم فہم لا یفقہون دی ریئل فینومینن از دیٹ دے بیکیم مومن دے ہیڈ ایمان دے ایکسپٹڈ ایمان دے ٹیسٹڈ ایمان بٹ دین دے بیکیم کافر سو ایکچولی دے ور ناٹ کفار فرام دی ویری بگننگ ایز اپوز ٹو دی فرسٹ ٹائپ آف دی منافقین قد دخلوا بالکفر وہم قد خرجوا به دوز پیپل انٹرڈ وتھ کفر اینڈ دین لیفٹ آؤٹ اینڈ وینٹ آؤٹ وتھ کفر بٹ ہیئر دی سیکنڈ ٹائپ قرآن سے ذالک بانہم آمنوا ثم کفروا دے ایکسپٹڈ ایمان دے بیکم مومن بٹ ثم کفروا دین دے بیکیم کافر بٹ دے ڈیڈنٹ بیکیم کافر لیگلی دے نیور ڈکلیئرڈ اٹ دیٹ وی آر گوئنگ بیک ٹو کفر دے ریمینڈ ود ان دی لیگل فولڈ آف اسلام اٹ واز ود ان دی لیگل فولڈ آف اسلام دیٹ دی ریئل ایمان گون اینڈ ایکچولی ناؤ ایٹ دیئر ہارٹس دے آر کافر ذالک بانہم آمنوا ثم کفروا فطبع علی قلوبہم فہم لا یفقہون ناؤ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہیز پٹ اے سیل آن دیئر ہارٹس اینڈ دے انڈرسٹینڈ ناٹ دی ریئل انڈرسٹینڈنگ دی فیکلٹی آف انڈرسٹینڈنگ دیٹ ہیز بین ٹیکن اوے فرام دم لیٹ می کوٹ اندر آیا دس گوئنگ بیک فرام ایمان ٹو کفر اینڈ پلیز نوٹ ناٹ لیگل کفر دے ور ناٹ مرتد دے ریمینڈ مسلم بٹ ود ان دیئر ہارٹس دے بیکم کفار بٹ دے ہیڈ ایکسپٹڈ ایمان دس واز ناٹ اے سڈن چینج جسٹ ایز اف یو ہیو سین اے پرسن ڈراؤنگ وٹ ہیپنس ونس ہی گوز ڈاؤن سرفیس آف دی واٹر دین ای کمز اپ اگین ہی گوز ڈاؤن دین ای کمز اپ ٹو اور تھری ٹائمس اینڈ دین از گون فائنلی از گون سیم از دی پکچر دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہیز ڈیپکٹڈ ان دی قرآن ان الذین آمنوا ثم کفروا ثم آمنوا ثم کفروا ثم ازدادوا کفرا لم یکن اللہ لیغفر لہم ولا لیہدیہم سبیلا بشر المنافقین بان لہم عذابا الیما دوز ہو بلیوڈ اینڈ دین ڈس بلیوڈ اینڈ دین بلیوڈ اینڈ دین ڈس بلیوڈ اینڈ دین بلیوڈ اینڈ دین ڈس بلیوڈ اینڈ دین فائنلی ڈس بلیوڈ اینڈ دے وینٹ فارورڈ اینڈ فارورڈ ان ڈس بلیف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی از ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو فرگیو دیم and is not going to lead them to the right path. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give the glad tidings to these munafiqeen, bashiril munafiqeen, bi anna lahum azaban aleema, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for them the worst punishment, the very painful punishment. Now this is the condition. You know, a drowning person, just like a person who is drowning, he goes down and then comes up, and then goes down and then comes up, and after two or three time and then he is drowned. In the same way, a person who is weak in his determination, he wants to be a mu'min also, but he doesn't want to make any sacrifice also. He wants to continue all the comforts. All should be pleased. There should be no conflict. There should be no danger for me, but I should also be a mu'min. He oscillates between iman and kufr. He is, you know, like a pendulum. Going to this side and to this side, and then again to this side and this side. And finally, he, you know, sinks to the bottom and he becomes a kafir, but not kafir legally. He is a munafiq. Kafir at heart, but legally he remains a Muslim. This subject we shall continue, inshallah, in the next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.